So equanimity is considered to be one of the factors of enlightenment, which means that it is, if you have achieved a state of insight that has led you to a place where you rarely suffer, equanimity is one of the qualities, one of seven, that you experience a lot. And for those of us who are not at that place of freedom yet, we can study what is equanimity. What is it, first of all? And second of all, what are some of its causative factors? What are some of the things that we can contemplate and or practice that support the arising of equanimity in real time, in our systems, so that we can experience less suffering? This has been a really strange time with the fires and the power outages and the smoke and the wind. And it's natural for a lot of reactivity to arise in our systems, plus whatever happens for us in daily life. The Buddha taught that we have 10,000 joys, but we also have 10,000 sorrows. And that's all of us. That's all of us. And so how do we move through this roller coaster of a life? Anything can happen at any time. How do we move through this roller coaster of a life without becoming reactive? Not easy to do. The teaching is that reactivity is the far enemy of equanimity, and that the near enemy, meaning something that isn't equanimity at all, it's actually equanimity's opposite, but it can look like equanimity, is indifference, which is a way of basically checking out when we get too overwhelmed. So we're not reactive when we're indifferent, but we're also not engaged. So here's the question: how do we find this state of, synonyms for equanimity or balance or serenity, calm, peace? How do we find this state with life as on life's terms? So I want to talk and sing with you tonight about some of these practices, and those will be, I want to talk about the idea or the practice of just this much. And I want to talk about sinking into the reality of impermanence. And I want to talk about making peace with imperfection. And I want to talk about the eight worldly winds. So ready, and here we go. All right, so you have on your song sheet, the first song on it is called Equanimity. I wrote it some time ago with a couple of friends. We put some music to some of the Buddhist teachings around equanimity. So I'll sing it for you, and the words are in front of you. And if you would like to sing along, please do. It's like this, it can be no other way. Everything that came before has led us to this moment. It's like this, so open and let go. Bring awareness and acceptance to this moment as it passes. Here I am. life arising as it will. How can I bend gracefully with the wind surrounding me? Here I am. Life brings both sorrow and joy, letting go the fight, the blame. Deep calm infuses me. Stand in the heart of the moment, inner stability. Return to a place of stillness, equanimity. Just this much, seeing clearly into now. No need for all the stories, just naming what is present. Just this much, without reactivity. I don't have to push, to clutch. I can simply let it be. Stand in the heart of the moment, inner stability. Return to a place of stillness, equanimity. Stay awake to indifference, to don't care. You can hear your heart respond without getting swept away. Stay awake. The promises are great. Radiance, exalted might, are the praises Buddha sang. Are the praises that the Buddha sang. So I shared some synonyms for equanimity: balance, calm, peace, serenity. The Pali word for equanimity is upekkha, and the translation for upekkha is seeing with understanding. With mindfulness practice and concentration, which means we're here in the present for continuous moments of mindfulness, we're just here, not lost in thought, just here. With a consistent experience of mindfulness, we can have insight into things like impermanence, cause and effect, the power of intention, the power of kindness. Seeing with understanding. Another translation, to stand in the middle of all this, like a tree with deep roots that when the weather is good, it basks in the sunshine and the just right amount of rain. And when there's a terrible storm, it's still here in the midst. It bends without breaking. There's a definition of equanimity from Wittgenstein that I like. He said, the calm bottom of the sea at its deepest point which remains calm, however high the waves on the sea, on the surface may be. The calm bottom of the sea at its deepest point, which remains calm, however high the waves on the surface may be. What I like about that is that I'm not waiting for equanimity. For equanimity to be present, I'm not waiting for circumstances outside myself to be calm. The waves can be rising pretty high. And I'm actually not waiting for my internal state to be calm either. We can be present with our systems as they are arising and have, with observing mind, a sense of calm bottom of the sea, sort of no matter what's going on. Even when anxiety arises or different emotions are running through, there's a part of us that's like the calm bottom of the sea, and we can identify with and ground with that part and be in a place of equanimity. So one of the ways to do that is to return to the present moment and handle simply what the present moment is putting in front of us right now, just this much. So right now, what is the present moment putting in front of us? Well, we're all in a sitting posture. We have a roof over our heads, so we're presently physically safe. We can feel our bodies. You're kindly listening to me talk, and I am kindly speaking. And that's what's happening right now. That's just this much. And you can notice how the human mind is. Like, you can hear what I'm saying, and the mind is very good at thinking thoughts all over the place. It may have all kinds of analysis and judgment and thinking, oh yeah, later I need to, and then tomorrow I will, and yesterday I, or little fantasies, or yeah, you know, I. The mind is doing all that. But in fact, what's actually happening in terms of our lived lives is just this much. And more we can train ourselves to respond to and handle just what's happening now. Our nervous system is intricately tied up with our languaging mind. And if our minds are going, ruminating and going on, our nervous systems will be responding to that. But if we bring it back down to what's happening right now, often, not always, but often what's happening right now is manageable. Even in difficult situations, often just this much, there's some skillful choice we can make to respond. When we have the presence of mind to be mindful in a present moment, we can invest it with a sense of curiosity and choice rather than coming from habituated, conditioned mind. Just this much. So the songs that I brought to sink a little more into this teaching about just this much are both teachings from the Vietnamese teacher Thich Nhat Hanh. And the first, it's down on that first page of your song sheet, is I Have Arrived. This song he called the shortest full Dharma talk he's ever given. Simply, I have arrived, I am home. In the here and in the now. I am solid. I am free. In the ultimate, I dwell. This ever-present, mysterious, magical, unfolding now. I have arrived, I am home, I am solid. I am free. I am solid. I am free. In the ultimate I dwell. In the ultimate I dwell. I have arrived. I am home. In the here and in the now, I have arrived. I am home. In the here and in the now, I am solid. I am free. I am solid. I am free. In the ultimate I dwell. In the ultimate I dwell. I have arrived. I am home. In the here and in the now, I have arrived. I am home. In the here and in the now, I am solid. I am free. I am solid. I am free. In the ultimate I dwell. In the ultimate I dwell. You sound great. It's wonderful to sing with you. So this teaching is a beautiful teaching, and you can find a kind of feel the transmission from the teaching. I am home in the here and in the now. To take it a step further in terms of what we can actually pragmatically do, a way in which we can choose to spend our time so that we can feel that teaching about being home in the here and now. This next song about breath. In breath, out breath, deep breath, slow breath, calm breath, ease breath, smile breath, release breath, present moment, wonderful moment. Our thinking minds evolved to fix things that aren't working, use language to communicate, so that if you understand when I put together these two sounds, ah and pull, and you understand and get a picture in your mind of an apple, and we are collecting apples together, we can more quickly pick apples out of an orchard. It's a great thing. The problem is that with this mind that wants to see what needs to be fixed or repaired or improved upon, it is constantly thinking about how things aren't good enough and need to be better. There's a resistance to the present moment rather than an acceptance. And when we really drop into the present, we can come to some acceptance. And with acceptance comes equanimity. So it helps to have a daily mindfulness practice. And part of that practice can be watching the rise and fall of breath. Letting the thinking mind just relax, coming to the breath, And then beginning to notice so many of our present moments are so wonderful. What we would normally just not even perceive because it's so mundane, with mindfulness we perceive it, and we perceive that it's a miracle. As Albert Einstein said, there are two ways to live your life. You could live your life as though nothing is a miracle, or you can live your life as though everything is a miracle. Mindfulness supports living our lives as though everything is a miracle. And we can have that understanding of that insight more often in daily life if we have a sitting practice. And often it's very helpful to have the breath as an anchor. In breath, out breath, deep breath, slow breath, calm breath, ease breath, smile breath, release breath, present moment, wonderful moment. As we sing, we'll do this song couple more times, two or three more times. As we sing, let your investigative, your curious mind, your investigative mind, see if it can find something here in the present moment that you could call wonderful. In breath, out breath, deep breath, slow breath, calm breath, ease breath, smile breath, release breath, present moment, wonderful moment. In breath, out breath, deep breath, slow breath, calm breath, ease breath, smile breath, release breath, present moment, wonderful moment. In breath, out breath, deep breath, slow breath, calm breath, ease breath, smile breath, release breath, present moment, wonderful moment. Did you raise your hand if you noticed something wonderful? Yay. To me, even just the air is wonderful. Okay, so that's the just this much practice around increasing our equanimity. Another teaching that can be really supportive around deepening in equanimity is the teaching on impermanence. The Buddha taught that there are three marks of existence, three things about anything that comes into being that you can count on. And one is that it's impermanent. Anything that's born will die, whether that's a thought or a person or a mountain. And then the second is what I would call imperfection, or it's sometimes called unsatisfactoriness, that things are imperfect, that perfection is a myth. And we can learn to not only make peace with imperfection, but come to love ourselves, each other, this world, in our imperfection. And put down that terrible dragon of perfection that causes us so much pain. Let ourselves be imperfect because we're impermanent, if no other reason. So impermanent and imperfect. And then the last one is no separate self, that each of us we're here because of so many causes and conditions. And that this sense of a self that abides through time is an illusion. The teaching on impermanence can be especially helpful in terms of deepening in equanimity, because as we really understand that nothing lasts, really nothing lasts, and it can go at any time, we let go more. We let go. And I have also found that as I deepen with my understanding of impermanence, I love more. There's a poignancy. And my capacity for patience increases when I know that everything is going. So the misbehaving child or the annoying family member, patience increases when I know it may be the last time I see them. So there's a cemetery in Oakland called the Mountain View Cemetery, where my grandfather is buried and some of my friends. And it's a wonderful place to walk, even if you don't have any loved ones buried there. It's beautiful, it's hilly, and it's got some of the oldest trees in Oakland. And I was walking there with a friend and came home and wrote this song, reflecting on impermanence. It's the next song on your sheet. Kind of cool that we're singing a song about cemetery on Halloween. I like walking in the cemetery. It's so beautiful there in the spring. Buttercups are blooming every place, and the grass is thick and green. I appreciate the company of the dead. Think it was Don Juan who said, keep death upon your shoulder, it will remind you to love. Sitting quiet with my heart, a thought welled up in me one day. What if someone drops a bomb? Have I said all I must say? No, my heart cried out to me, it really must be said. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. I like walking in the cemetery. It's so beautiful there in the summer. Throw a frisbee with a friend and we look at the sky and wonder. I appreciate the company of the dead. I heard it was Don Juan who said, keep death upon your shoulder, it will remind you to love. Complacent ice, hard and cold, protection from the fear. But like the sun that melts, a thought that helps is that soon none of us will be here. Am I ready for the time when the one I take for granted is dying? Remembering I hold a friend and whisper thanks for this moment we're sharing. I like walking in the cemetery. It's so beautiful there in the fall. The changing leaves fall from the trees like they do from a song. I appreciate the company of the dead. I went and read the page where Don Juan said, keep death upon your shoulder. It will remind you to love. Considering the folks I hurt while struggling to be happy, I hope you'll find it in you to forgive me. And as far as I'm concerned, when I reflect upon the ending, all will be forgiven. The strongest feeling is love. I like walking in the cemetery. It's so beautiful there in the winter. The cold, contented tombstones sing praise of friends and strangers. I appreciate the company of the dead. I thank Mr. Don Juan, who said, keep death upon your shoulder. It will remind you to love. It will remind you to love. Something I really love about the Buddhist teachings is how they inform and support each other. This teaching on impermanence, not only does it support letting go, equanimity, but it also supports right action, kindness, love, patience, generosity, simplicity. So, impermanence. I want to talk a little bit about a teaching in Buddhism called the Eight Worldly Winds. The Buddha said, here are your eight. Okay, let me put this down so I can show you the eight. Okay. Praise and blame, gain and loss, pleasure and pain, success and failure. Those are the eight. So these eight are the eight worldly winds. They ceaselessly change. As a mountain is unshaken by the wind, so the heart of a wise person is steady amidst all the changes of this earth. And we have, when we begin to see, either through study or through direct experience, we can get insight both ways. We begin to see that these eight, praise and blame, gain and loss, pleasure and pain, success and failure, come to us all, and that they're all impermanent. We become less reactive and more equanimous. So, praise and blame, for instance. Praise comes to me, and I can either take it as a householder does, which is, you know, oh yeah, oh yeah, everybody loves me, you know. And if I go there with that, I'm going to crash eventually, because that's not really the truth. You know, the way life is, sometimes we receive praise, and sometimes we don't. But without these teachings, we can get attached and think that this is some kind of permanent truth. And it isn't. It never is. Is it? Never is. Same with blame. Somebody really harshly blames or criticizes me. Well, if I take that as a permanent reality, I mean, it could kill me, actually, if I take it as a permanent reality. It can really be terrible. But if I understand that blame also isn't permanent. I can let it come and go like the winds on a mountain. Come back to just this much. Just this much. The 8 worldly winds come and go for us all. And it's really helpful to understand that. And I think that 19-year-old Joni Mitchell transmits this teaching beautifully in the song Both Sides Now. So let's find that in the song sheet. And this version of Both Sides Now has an added verse from Pete Seeger, died recently at age 90, but if you haven't heard of either of these are 1960s, very famous folk singers. Joni, let's let Joni talk to us about the 8 worldly winds. And Pete at the end talking about loving kindness and right action. Bows and flows of angel hair and ice cream castles in the air, feather canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I could have done, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow it's clouds' illusions I recall. I really don't know clouds at all. Moons and Junes and Ferris wheels, the dizzy dancing way you feel, as every fairy tale comes real, I've looked at love that way. But now it's just another show, you leave them laughing when you go. And if you care, don't let them know. Don't give yourself away. I've looked at love from both sides now, from give and take, and still somehow it's love's illusions I recall. I really don't know love at all. Tears and fears and feeling proud to say I love you right out loud. Dreams and schemes and circus crowds, I've looked at life that way. But now old friends are acting strange. They shake their heads, they say I've changed. Something's lost, but something's gained in living every day. I've looked at life from both sides now, from win and lose, and still somehow it's life's illusions I recall. I really don't know life at all. Daughter, daughter, don't you know, you're not the first to feel just so. But let me say before I go, it's worth it anyway. Someday we may all be surprised, we'll wake and open up our eyes. And then we all will realize the whole world feels this way. We've all been living up
upside down, turned around with love unfound, until we turn and face the sun. Yes, all of us, everyone.
Thank you so much for your amazing listening and singing and just being here. It's really such a blessing to be in community in this way. That is all I have to say. Do you have any questions or comments about equanimity or anything else? Yeah. The truthful answer is I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it? And he said daughter, daughter, like he's talking to Joni, you know, but to us too. Yeah, and, you know, in these times with all that's going on, this last verse reminds me that of the power of intention and how important it is to have a clear understanding, oh, thank you, a clear vision for ourselves. Yeah. You know, I got this verse from a songbook, and I don't know whether Pete recorded it or not, and so now I'm going to rush home and Google and find out. Yeah.
I really loved everything you said, so thank you very much. And it
so
was
welcome.
Very eloquent. So
glad.
What comes to mind is a phrase that Ajahn Sumedho uses a lot, which is don't take your life personally. And so one aspect of equanimity for me is that the more I get, or the less I get caught up in the content and the more I see conditions as arising and passing away and as a process, and the less self there is, then the more equanimity I can establish.
That's fantastic.
As you so eloquently said, mindfulness is a huge part of that.
Yeah.
But just holding it lightly and just letting it come in and letting it go out.
Right. That's fantastic. Yes. So instead of holding ourselves up to some bar and, you know, like kind of like I was saying with praise and blame, instead of having some sense of self that we then get disappointed when we're not who we think we should be, or we get proud when we are who we think we should be. Instead, just letting it move and holding it all in kindness. Yeah. It's such a much easier way to live, that, and that's a form of equanimity. Yeah, thank you.
Next time you do this, add the Beatles, Let It Be.
I know. I will. You know, that's so funny you said that, because I actually have Let It Be in another songbook that I didn't bring tonight, and it hadn't occurred to me to put in this little equanimity packet until I got here tonight. And then I thought, I was sitting actually in meditation, thinking, oh, Let It Be. Oh, yes. You know, Paul, when he said Mother Mary, it sounds Christian, but his mother's name was Mary. And she, when he was a little boy, told him, calmed him down by telling him to let it be. Yeah, so that's a great equanimity song.
Actually, what I understand is that originally it was Maharishi as part of the song until they separated from him and became Mother Mary.
Really? But Mary was his mother's name too, so maybe it's all true. Yes.
Is there music to the Impermanence song?
Yes. Would you like to do it?
Yeah.
Let's do it really quick. Let's do it once in Pali and twice in English. This song, this chant, is a beautiful practice in and of itself, because the human mind likes to imagine permanence, and this chant reminds the thinking mind, no, all things are impermanent. And making peace with that allows us to relax with what is. Anicca vata sankara upadavaya damino upajita nirijanti tesam upasamo sukho. All things are impermanent, they arise and they pass away. To be in harmony with this truth brings peace. All things are impermanent, they arise and they pass away. To be in harmony with this truth brings peace. Sometimes the English translation is brings the greatest happiness, I think is what it is. In Buddhism, peace is considered to be the greatest happiness. Investigate that and see if that's true for you. Anything else?
Thanks, Eve, for this singing. It just warms my heart so much. I was wondering, in terms of equanimity, I feel like these days it's so hard to practice because I just don't have so much equanimity. Maybe other people relate or not.
Who relates?
Okay. Yeah. Things are just hard. There's just so much happening in the world and like also in my life. And like, you know, as a young person, I don't always like hear teachers talk about their own path and like how maybe sometimes meditation was hard and like there's been ups and downs and maybe times without meditation. And I just was wondering, like, in terms of like your own path, did you have times when you were just like, whoa, like I can't meditate at all and I just need to do something else? And, you know, it sounds like sometimes I feel like teachers just sound like they have always meditated every day and things were amazing, or, and you know, of course it's the mind, just like I'm not good enough mind, I know I notice, but I think it would help me to hear a bit about just your own, like, you know, back and forth with equanimity and your meditation path.
Yes, of course. Thank you for your question. Yeah, there's a thing the mind does where we compare our insides to other people's outsides. The Buddha spoke about, he has a teaching about different kinds of horses. There are horses that get to the destination really quickly and horses that get there at a medium pace, and then there are the really slow horses that take forever to get to where they're going, but the slow horses still get there. And I'm definitely a slow horse. Definitely a slow horse. It's a long, long road for me. I started practice in 1991, and by practice, I mean I started going on long retreats in 1991. And there's a word in Pali called papancha, which is the mind just kind of at, like monkey mind at its worst, just proliferating and ruminating. And I know the lands of papancha very, very well. What I like about being a slow horse, I'm actually grateful to be a slow horse. What I like about being a slow horse is that it has really deepened my capacity for empathy and compassion. It's beautiful. Whatever our journey is, we can learn that it allows us to relate and connect. So don't. I think the only thing with practice, there can be times where it's just impossible to do, and it's helpful at those times to get supports. But the only thing is just to not give up, and that's my only. And you know what's helped me to not give up is love. Right from my very first exposure to the Dharma was with James in 1990 at his North Bay class, and I loved the Dharma immediately. And that if you can feel that sense of resonance, like there is something here that is true and useful, tune into that and let it keep guiding you forward, and then the rest. It's just like this gentleman was describing, it's its own process. And if we cannot identify it with so much, but just bring in a lot of kindness and patience, it will unfold.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, Jim.
Pete Seeger's line there, but let me say before I go, it's worth it anyway. It just kind of brought a tear to my eye because it's, you know, in the midst of the world and all the craziness that's going on and whatever is happening, you know, I think that you know, when I meditate, my heart calls me to care anyway. Sometimes it works out really awesome and things are wonderful and everything is a miracle. And sometimes it doesn't feel that way. Mm-hmm. But I think when I really pay attention to what's in my heart, what's in the world, it just still, it's worth it anyway. You know, the people that are in need are worth being cared for.
Mm-hmm.
My growth is worth the effort of however slow or however fast.
Yeah.
It's worth going through the winter because the spring is coming next. It's worth going through the spring because the beauty of the winter is coming.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's worth it anyway.
Yeah, it's a beautiful line. Yeah, one of the things that we work with mindfulness is when the Buddha said the second noble truth about the cause of suffering is clinging, that can look like or feel like a sense of something else is better and this moment isn't good enough, a resistance to the present moment. And that line about it's worth it anyway, for me it kind of reminds me of this is what we're given. Learn to love it. Teacher John Travis has a story he tells about meeting a teacher in India. And at the meeting, the teacher said to him, thank you, thank you, thank you. And John asked the translator, why is this teacher saying thank you? And the translator said, that's his practice, saying thank you to every moment as it arises. Worth it anyway. All right, I think we are, let's do our dedication of merit. So we have one card, and if you wanted to add anything after I read this, please do. So we're going to be dedicating our merit to all beings, including Thomas, who is struggling with addiction. And any others that you would like to name or just silently bring in to the space. It's understood that we generate good energy as we contemplate things like present moment awareness and loving kindness and equanimity. And with this good energy, we're going to offer it to beings, including Thomas and including ourselves, all beings. May the merit of our practice be for the benefit of all beings everywhere. May all beings everywhere be free. Thank you. Happy November.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.